We're here in beautiful Bladensburg, scene of the great strike that struck out. Bill Prettyman, what did you say when the jocks walked out?
Don't leave me this way. I can't survive.
And how did the jocks react?
You can go your own way.
Wait a minute. Here comes Carly in the money car. What can you tell us about the strike? Coming over the hill from Howard Johnson's with headphones in hand, the Scabs. Scabs, how did you get here? What do you think about the city? What was that, Carla? Let's go inside the office of Mr. Glenn Potter. Glenn, what was the problem with the contracts? Hold on here. Evelyn's on the phone. Hey, do you have a word of encouragement for the strikers?
Carry on, my wayward son.
Strikers, how do you feel about Evelyn and her professional leadership?
It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway.
What's that, Carla?
Just like me, kid.
We're back at the picket line. Strikers, where's Tim and Evelyn? And where's the money car?
Engage transporter.
Wait a minute. We gotta wait for Bobber here. Bobber, what are your plans for the future?
Can't you see that I'm breaking my back just trying to keep my head above water?
Strikers, please, one last word for your audience.
Don't give up on us, baby.
That was very touching. Look out for the money car!
All right, now do you have any idea who that would be?
Well, Dave Fox put together that piece of production. And the voice was me.
No, it was you?
Yes, it was.
I can't believe it. Since 1979, I've been trying to find out who did that. Now, who wrote it? Did Dave write it?
I think, yeah. I don't remember the details much more, but I remember him writing it, and I did the voice thing for the...
I did all the little pieces there. You know, I did all that, yeah. Wow. WPGC money car.
I mean, whatever I said in that thing, but
this was like it was so worthwhile to do this. You know, I did not know that. I didn't plan on this at all. I'm thrilled to death after all this time. I finally found out who did it. So 2 years after the fact, I found that laying in a back room in the far production room in the number three or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and it was still there.
Tell me the background. How did you happen to come to Washington?
Well, a lot of people were not too happy about it. What happened was there was a threat through AFTRA of a strike. I was the program manager for their station in Salt Lake City. Dan Mason was the program manager, PD, whatever, of WZGC Atlanta. We were both told, get your best person next to you and see, you know, that you can get to come with you and get them to come back east. We'll be here just in case a strike happens. And it did. We each ended up taking 6-hour shifts, 24 hours of the day, four people.
Including Dan?
Including Dan. Dan Paul. Dan, it was interesting. Dan didn't consider himself that good, so he would do the late evening shift.
Right, yeah. But when you came from Salt Lake, that was 77, had you at that point ever worked at a unionized station before?
Let's see. Yeah, No. I'd worked in Dallas. It was non-union. And believe it or not, I'd worked at an L.A. station that has since become union, but it was a non-union station at that time. And it was owned by Bill Drake and Gene Chenault.
It was a KIQQ?
KIQQ, and it was non-union.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you. When you came into D.C., you didn't know whether or not there actually would be a strike, but obviously that happened. Did you have misgivings about crossing a picket line?
Absolutely. I remember talking to the powers of be, and they said, hey, look, you want to work for our company or not? And we only ask you to be here temporarily in order to... you know, facilitate us having somebody on the air and on and on and on. So the idea was I was guaranteed that when the strike was over, I could go straight back to my PD gig in Salt Lake City at KAYKFM, as it was called then.
All right. That being the case, and how is it that Dave Fox stayed?
Dave decided he was given the option to stay. Dave was a fantastic, and still is, a production guy. And he did all kinds of things for us out there in Salt Lake City. And then, of course, in Washington, he applied those same skills, and he became the voice of PGC for quite a while.
Yeah, I was the production guy for years. How long did you actually stay at PGC before going back to Salt Lake?
You know, I've lost track of time. It was at least a couple of months.
That long?
Yeah, it was. It was about 8 weeks. And then I was able to leave. I remember the company gave me a pretty good bonus for coming there. So I went down and bought a car to one of the dealerships there that they had a little deal going on. And then I drove that across the country and went back that way.
When the strike came down, they were in a bad situation with no air talent. And what was the, give me the background. Who called it? Was it Glenn Potter? Was it, well, it was Bill Prettyman? Or?
It was all of the above. I mean, they had a very ugly strike. And I believe it was over the deemed to be live clause.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And it wasn't about the, it wasn't necessarily about the jocks or they made too much or they were trying to, it wasn't it at all. But it forced the issue. And I wasn't involved in the negotiations, of course, because that wouldn't have been, that's not what I do. So they needed a program director because Jim Collins at the time, I believe Jim went with the other jocks. He may have been on the air, and I think Jim maybe saw himself as part of the afterns rather than part of management.
Yeah.
So Jim kind of did a 1 week transition for me.
Gosh, you know, I remember we got hassled so bad, like the jocks did on the air during the after strike, that like it was just awful. I mean, you know, you always worry about the area being dangerous, but I mean, I remember getting hit by a rock. I didn't get hurt, but I got hit. It was
ugly.
Ugly.
Wow. That dispute, I think, primarily was about recording tracks for the AM, wasn't it?
Can't remember. Well, it was deemed to be live, so I couldn't tell you what it was about.
But they were still going to be live on the FM.
It may have been about maybe even running like shows like Casey Kasem, because that would have been an issue too, I would think. Hmm.
Did you know that PGC was one of the original seven stations to carry that show?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we ran it at Z93 too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it was just myself and Prettyman I was doing morning drive the first couple of days.
Yeah.
And Prettyman was my news guy.
Now, I didn't know at the time that Bill was an old Top 40 jockey. He worked at Weem back in the 60s.
You know what? For a general manager of a radio station,
he sounded pretty darn good.
Pretty good.
He did. He did the news, and he sounded authoritative.
We used some of the other people in the office, too, to do things. But that first couple of weeks were really rough. They were rough because we had picket lines. I mean, I think the first media put us all at that Howard Johnson's. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that thing's still
there. The Howard Johnson's is still there, but nothing else is.
Nothing is. But we, Bill Travis and I were roommates together because mm-hmm. Bill came up from Atlanta with me.
What shift did he do at Z93?
I think he did nights and overnights, and maybe he did middays for a while. He did a variety of shifts through the years. But
he went back to Atlanta, though, didn't he?
And I think he went on to, he had a great career at Houston, at KMJQ in Houston.
I see.
So I don't know where Bill is now, but he and I were roommates. Then we had Dave Fox. He was on the staff.
Yeah. Was he in Provo?
Provo. He came from the first media station in Provo. We hired Brant Miller.
Now, was Brant working at Kim? Is that where he came from?
I think he was. He came from Denver because he had an old beat-up car with Colorado license plates on it. But so it's Dave, myself, Brant, a guy named Don Bishop.
Yes, I know. I worked with Don.
Don came from Provo also. And that was kind of our staff. And we started with that.
And Liz.
And Liz.
For
Liz came a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jim Elliott made the big move and crossed the picket line.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott Woodside had been in Atlanta.
Oh, but wait.
Z93.
But Scott didn't start it right away. He started a year later.
Right. Jim was on his own.
Jim, the morning news guy was
Don O'Day.
Don O'Day, yes.
He's another one that we brought. He was really a great guy. We brought him from Provo.
he had an amazing voice.
But he would stutter. And it almost became a running bit. But I wish I'd like to hear some air checks of that. That would be really good if you could get your hands on that.
He stayed there only for a year or so. Then he went to...
Yeah, he went back to Provo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when Woodside came, Scott came.